In Forensic Faith, he opens up his toolkit and shares those skills with us. Like all the best teachers, Jim wants you to join him in his work. Along with Paul, Jim challenges us to examine everything carefully. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And to be fully convinced in our own minds, Romans chapter 14 verse 5, about the truth we say we embrace, and then share that conviction with others. So jump in. Along the way, you'll find yourself better at evaluating evidence, thinking through arguments, and making the case for Christian truth. And I am willing to bet you may also find yourself better at being you. After all, it was God who gave us these brains in the first place. We should use them. Special thanks. I owe a debt of gratitude to Melinda Penner, Rice Brooks, Hank Hennegraaff, Frank Turek, and Mark Middleberg for their input and effort to improve Forensic Faith. I would also like to thank the endorsers for their encouragement and support, and John Stonestreet for his friendship and wisdom. As always, I am humbled to be associated with you in this important mission. This book is the final installment in a trilogy of books making the case for God's existence, God's crime scene, and the case for Christianity, Cold Case Christianity. As I wrote these books, I often had a particular group of young people in mind, my own children. Thanks to Jimmy, David, Annie, and Mia for reminding me of the importance of my role as your father. I hope I have served you well. On those days when God feels far away, or at those times when your doubts seem stronger than his voice, I hope these books will remind you that Christianity is true, in spite of whatever you're going through. If there's one gift I wish to give you, it's the certainty that comes with knowing the truth and developing a forensic faith. Preface: To Protect and to Serve. Let's go interview the husband. Alan Jeffries closed the red cold case notebook and glared at me with obvious impatience. I stared back incredulously. After a long pause, he barked, "What? Why are you giving me that look? Do you have any idea how many of these murders I've worked? Al, we've been working together for years. I know exactly how many cases you've investigated, but you just finished reading the notebook, and we haven't even assembled a list of evidences or charted the potential suspects. You've already decided the husband did it." Alan was the most experienced member of our homicide team, but by this point in my career, I had been fairly successful in working the most difficult cases our agency had to offer. I wasn't afraid to challenge the man I came to see as a friend and seasoned colleague. Alan didn't budge. "Are you ready to go talk to this guy or what?" To be fair, I could understand where Alan was coming from. The victim in this case was a middle-aged housewife with no known enemies. Most people are killed by someone familiar to them. Her husband was a likely suspect on that basis alone, but Alan's certainty about the identity of our killer was entirely premature. Months later, after an exhaustive investigation of the evidence and every potential suspect, we concluded our victim's husband was, in fact, the man who had killed her. Alan was right all along. We ultimately convicted the husband after a lengthy trial. At the sentencing hearing, Alan leaned over and whispered, "I told you so." While Alan maintained the husband was our killer from the very beginning, he was only accidentally correct in the earliest days of our analysis. By the end, after a long, intense investigation, Alan could boast he was also evidentially correct. He had the right suspect all along, but what he once believed accidentally, he now knew with evidential certainty. One might argue Alan had good reason to conclude the husband was the killer. Alan's experience and intuition inclined him to target the husband, and Alan was, after all, correct in the end. But his intuition alone wouldn't be enough to convince a jury, and worse yet, his intuitions had actually failed him and us in the past. See Chapter 1 of Cold Case Christianity. There's a big difference between accidental and evidential belief, even though both may lead you to the same conclusion. There are times when accidental belief will land you in the right place, but it seldom stands up to aggressive challenges, and it's often less than persuasive. Are you a Californian Christian? I actually understand what it's like to be in the right place accidentally. As I travel to speaking engagements in cold and remote sections of the country, I'm increasingly grateful to have been born and raised in sunny Southern California. Here, it's 75 degrees and dry nearly every day of the year, and it has some of the nation's best beaches. It's the land of opportunity with more recreational, educational, and employment opportunities than just about anywhere. I'm happy to identify myself as a Californian. But if you were to quiz me about the nature of California, you'll quickly find I'm not the most informed resident.